First Corinthians chapter 10, let's pick back up at verse 12. I think we made it a little farther than that. Actually, we made it a lot farther than that. We left off at verse 15 or 16. No, we didn't. We left off at verse 21. And while we did that little bit on the cross, if you keep in mind when Paul's writing, that's the very thing that he's trying to get the Corinthians to do, is to deny themselves and be of use. You can't, if you're serving yourself, you can't serve the Lord. Do you agree with that?
Right.
That's and
gotta get a little play in there somewhere.
Well, they got a lot of play in. That's why he wrote to them. Matter of fact, he used that example from the Israelites. He said they sat down
to eat
and drink, and they rose up to play. And you know why they played? Because when they sat down to eat and drink, before that they said. We don't know what happened to Moses. And they told Aaron to make us gods to go before us. And God had just went before them, didn't he?
Yeah.
In the cloud and in the pillar. He brought them out. And they're getting instruction of how to serve him while Moses is away. They're getting the instruction. We want to do what you say, God. Okay, just hang on a minute. I'll get it together. He goes, calls Moses to the mount, and while he's writing it down, they said,
I don't know where he went.
How many? I wonder, day 10. You see Moses? He's still up there. He's still up there? Okay.
You haven't seen him come yet.
By who knows how many days. You know it's less than 40. Because they're coming down and they're right in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Joshua says, there's a war in the camp. Moses said, no, son. That's not the sign of them that fight for mastery. There's a party going on down there. And he comes down and he said that the people, Aaron, had made the people naked to their shame. But what I want to get is this. He said to make us gods to go before us. For as for this deliverer, we don't know what happened to him. That's why when Paul said this, look at verse 10 and verse 21. He said, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? That was a question for them back there too. Did they provoke the Lord to jealousy?
Obviously.
Sure they did. Yeah. Look at Psalm. Let me go before you and see. I think it's Psalm 72. It actually talks about they provoked him to jealousy in the wilderness.
When it talks about furnishing the table, provoking the Most High in the wilderness, it's 78, verse 17.
78. Psalm 78, 17?
17 talks about provoking the Most High in the wilderness.
Okay.
And then them testing God in their heart by asking for food, and then the table, furnishing the table, etc., etc.
Okay, well, let's read that since we're over there. 78:17, he brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock and the waters gushed out. And the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also?
Talk about
can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation, though he had commanded clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and etc. He rained down manna. Do you think that they provoked him? I got to find that verse where they provoked him to jealousy because of the idols.
Manna was just
Exodus 32. The
sky, right?
The manna, well, the quail. He got them quail, right. And you know what? They didn't even have to hunt it.
It just fell into their
land. Didn't
and they didn't even have to. They didn't get a chance to. Exodus 32. I just thought of the verse that said
that.
Okay.
Exodus
32.
You know. They asked him, could he? They didn't have. They asked the Lord for meat. Can he give meat? And he says, you want meat? I'll give you meat. He caused the quail to fly waist high. All they had to do was catch him. And when they caught it, he let them prepare it. And he said, while they were yet eating, the scripture said, while the flesh was yet in their teeth. Can you imagine they cut off a piece? But look what he said in Exodus 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Verse 4. When all the people broke off their earrings, and he received them, Aaron did, at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool. After he had made it a molten calf, they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Boy, that's significant. We're not even close to the chapter 11, but keep that in mind. He says, and they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly. Look at verse 19. And it came to pass, as soon as Moses comes down, he hears the commotion. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder, and strewed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel
drink
of it. And Moses said, you have sinned a great sin. Verse 12. I thought it was the word jealous in there. There's
there is in Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy
4:14.
Exodus.
Yeah. For thou shalt worship no other god but the Lord.
Yeah. There you go. Thank you. He says, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, that whether thou goest, let it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But he shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves, for thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Before they even get started, do you think that provoked the Lord to jealousy? All right, let me ask you a question. Why would you think he was jealous?
Because he put a lot of time in people.
You know what? I like that. I like that. Yeah. He put a lot of time in those people.
Exclusivity.
And he gave them everything they asked for.
And he gave them everything they asked. You know what? Remember, you. I know you remember this. Remember you told me outside, you said, say this word. And when I looked this word up once, jealous. And from my recollection, as best I can get it, it is when you're giving to a third party something that the other person desires to be the object or the recipient of. So if I want you to give me your time and affection and you give it to Ed, that makes me what?
Jealous.
So the children of Israel, they're sitting there giving their time and affection to a calf,
yeah,
who can do nothing. But the person who the God who has delivered them and put a lot of time in those people, they said, and he says, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Mm-hmm. Are we stronger than... Can your calves deliver you?
Mm-hmm. Can your rock provide you with water?
You know what? He said it in Deuteronomy. He said, their rock is not
like our rock.
He said, you putting your trust in that. You know what? They speak not. They hear not.
They
why are you giving them your energy, your time, your affection? You say, well, that's the Corinthians, or that's the Israelites. The Corinthians did the same thing. They had Lord delivered them out of idolatry.
We do the same thing. We give our time to something other than idols,
yeah, daily.
Making a living.
You know what? Yeah. To close us up, we think this way. Well, that was them.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on them.
I can't
believe that. The Corinthians, the Israelites. But like Jenny said, you know what? We go home and we give our time, our affection, our attention to other things besides the Lord. Do you think he wants it? You know, Paul said this. He says, "I have to the Corinthians." He says, "I have espoused you that I might present you in the terminology as a
virgin."
You know what chaste means?
Undivided, untouched.
Right, undefiled, clean, pure, unto Christ. He said. Did that happen? Do you think he put a lot of time in us? You know what? All those things we looked at, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the foreknowledge of God, that's a lot of time he put in to make sure our redemption is secure. And then he says, now.
He did that whole timeline for us.
the whole timeline, right. And then he says, I beseech you,
give me, which is your reason.
Give me you.
It's like I'm giving you me. You give you me.
You know what? He's given. He gave himself, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. We should give ourselves.
And he says, now, would you return the favor?
Graciously, not demanded.
Get into the word.
It's not demanded, but it's desired.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you know what? You know what will keep us from doing that is we don't really know how much time he really put into it. Like I said, study it. When you start to search it out, and that's what Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth us. So we come to the conclusion, if one died for all,
oh, we're dead.
We're still alive, though.
That's you and Ed, putting all that time into research and understanding and reading for us, and then come and explain it a little simpler to us so we can digest it.
You know what? And it's simple. If you read it, I bet you it'd be simple to you. You know what the Lord said, or Moses said this? He said, when they were prophesying, and then Joshua came up, and they were still prophesying. And he said, Moses, make them stop. He said, my Lord, make them stop. See, they're still prophesying. And Moses said something. He said, envious thou for my sake, Joshua? You know, he said, I appreciate that. He said, but I wish to God that all God's people were prophets. Moses, you know what Moses knew? I wish to God that all my people, all
kingdom.
Y'all missed it. He said, I wish to God that all God's people were prophets. He knew that those people belonged to what? To God. That's not my people. You know what? You know what we should, what we know is the Lord wants you just as much as a preacher that we say. You know, we'll say, well, you know what? I'm not a preacher, so I don't have to look at that. I don't have to study like that. I don't have to give myself. That's what we think. But the Lord is, he said, wait a minute. You are an ambassador. I want you just as much as I want him. I want you reading just like he's reading. Oh, that's Ed's job.
But we know we ain't gonna do it, right?
But you know what? That's why the relationship is not falling off between us. It's falling off between the Lord.
That's what you put into it.
Yeah.
Like any relationship.
And it's, you know what? And this is not, it's not like he demands it.
He doesn't beg you.
That's what grace said. He puts everything up. He puts the table. He sets the table up front. He has provided the table. And he sits back. He gets his napkin. And he's, whosoever will, let him come. And eat with me. And sup with me. Doesn't he?
Yeah.
And that's the Corinthians where Paul's getting, he's trying to impress upon them. That's the question he asks is, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? We'll pick up next week.
We are not strong.
At the verse. Say it again.